You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this.
Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I had the chance to sit down with Deanna Brakefield and talk about how starting her own radio show changed her life. This is a wonderful story. You're going to love it. There's one part of this story that I could have actually geeked out about for, well, forever. And I actually turned out to not torture Deanna with all of my questions about this. I was actually very, very curious about all the technical aspects of the radio station and how that was working. Was she going into a studio? Was it a broadcasting station that had an FCC license over a frequenced FM or AM station? Deanna answers my question in our conversation. And to be honest, she was probably not as interested in my questions, and neither are you, the listeners, about this as I am. I actually had a radio show of my own as far back as when I was in middle school, believe it or not. It was an FCC broadcast station. I still have my FCC broadcast license. I studied broadcasting and the Marconi and all of the things about how you get licensed and what are the rules and call signs and all of those things. It is a place where I could go all kinds of nerdy. Was there an antenna? What is the range? Do you have an engineer? Blah, blah, blah. See, I could get geeky about this. But it turns out that many of those questions, maybe all of them, don't actually apply to her story. And that's okay. And also, that's not what she was here to talk about. There is actually another version of this question that is more relevant to what I do, which is, what is a podcast in 2025? This is a thing that people really and truly do actually fight about in Reddit forums specifically. Not me. I don't engage. I don't fight. Doesn't matter to me. I just read them with some popcorn. Anyway, I don't torture Deanna with all my questions about that because that's not really her story that she was here to tell. I did, however, as soon as we finished talking, I'd hop over to the Googles and look it up and see if I can find the answers to all my questions about KFRED radio. So if you're curious about KFRED after hearing about it, you can totally check it out. It's KPHRED is how they're spelling it out. They describe themselves as Neuro Wonder Radio, a blend of podcasts that inspire and inform, covering a wide range of topics for all generations. So that's what that is. And now I'm ready to introduce you to Deanna, and you can hear how her having her own show has changed her life. Are you ready? I think I'm ready. I'm totally ready. I've done all I can do here. You're going to love it. Let's do it. Let's go. Deanna Brakefield, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat today?
Absolutely. I think this is going to be great.
Yay. I start all my interviews by asking my guests what part of the world they call home. So where are you today?
Birmingham, Alabama, U.S.
Nice. Very, very nice. In a second, we're going to start the official interview. But before we do that, we always say laughter is the best medicine. Share with us something that brings, you can count on, something that you can count on to bring a smile to your face or a laughter to your day.
It would be having one-on-one conversations like this one. I meet with lots of people throughout the week, and I always find my energy comes up and I start smiling whenever I start talking to somebody new.
I love that. What a beautiful answer. Thank you so much for sharing that. So the topic of the day is that you decided to start a radio show, and you say that it changed the direction of your life. So my first question is, how long ago did you do this? How long ago did you start the radio show?
The radio show has been running for 9 months now, and it has been a roller coaster ride.
So, all right. So this is pretty recent. 9 months. All right. Very good. So I'm very curious about this because I cannot actually think of the last time I listened to, actually, that's not true. I can think of the last time I listened to the radio because I had a rental car and I didn't have connection to any of my devices and I didn't have satellite radio. So tell me more about this radio station. Is it a broadcast radio station? And how did this idea even begin?
So that's actually the really weird part. I think I lost my mind because I was in a networking event and I got introduced to this guy. He's an absolute character, and he was looking for people to start shows on his station. So it is a digital station. It is also a broadcast station. So we have terrestrial broadcast as well as digital broadcast. And I'm thinking, okay, so I own a digital marketing agency with my husband. I'm thinking this will be a great thing. I can do like 30 minutes once a week and just talk about marketing. It'll be so much more impactful than like doing hours upon hours of networking. And he looks me dead in the face and he goes, "You cannot do a show about marketing. It is boring." And I was like, oh, okay. What else would I possibly talk about? And he had listened to me talk about my family and my kids for hours at this point as we had one-on-ones trying to find a good place where I could work a show from. And one day he looks at me and he goes, "Do that, talk about your kids." And I'm like, what do you mean? I have no like authority. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a teacher. I'm not like a parent advocate. Who's going to listen to me?" And he said, "No. Talk about your kids and how they're different. Talk about neurodivergence." And I said, "Oh yeah, I got lots to say about that. Let's go."
Okay. All right. So we're going to jump right into that. Well, actually, no, I'm going to backtrack. We're going to come back to the neurodivergence in a second, but I'm going to backtrack. So, do you have a background in radio or in broadcasting? Had you ever done anything like this before?
Oh no, this has been a deep dive into things I never thought I would even know need to know how to do. Everything from production and engineering to actual like guest relations. It's all been a crash course.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So the focus of the show is the kids and
Yes, ma'am.
neurodiversity. Okay. All right. The kids and neurodiversity. All right. So what, all right. So then let's go straight into that, right? So you shared actually on your intake form, you said that, I'll read it so that I don't mess it up, that all of your children, you and your husband are all neurodivergent is I think what you said. Is that correct?
We are a family of nine, and yes, ma'am, we have different diagnoses, but we are all neurodivergent.
All right, so tell me a little bit about that so that we're all on the same page since this is the first time that you and I have met. Like, so yes, tell us a little bit about that and how it connects to the show. Like, so you're a family of nine, two adults, seven kids.
Well, we have some adult children. We are a
Okay.
blended family.
Oh,
He
me
and I have
too.
three together, one that
Okay.
he brought from his first marriage, and then three that we adopted.
Okay, all right. So then so the word neurodivergent. I'm not a neurodivergent expert, so I'm going to rely on you to tell us what we're talking about, and give us an idea so that everybody knows what we're doing here.
So essentially, it's an umbrella term and it just means wired differently. So that could be anything from autism, which some people are fairly familiar with, and ADHD, to things like dyslexia, where you have issues with letters on the page, or dyscalculia, where it's numbers on the page, and so many things in between.
All right. And so is there like something specific that repeats in your family, or do you have like a smorgasbord of things going on?
So almost everyone has ADHD because my
Okay.
husband is autistic ADHD and I'm ADHD, and there are genetic components.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Did you and your husband, like I've interviewed two people on the show that were diagnosed as adults with ADHD. So did you guys know when you were young, did you guys know before you met? Did you know when you were younger? Like how long have you known?
I did know. I'm actually one of the wildly unusual females at 40 that had an early childhood diagnosis. It's very uncommon. My husband was not diagnosed until he was a young adult. He had to seek his own because his parents were against labeling.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. But by the time you guys met, you knew that about each other. It was
Yes.
already there before you. This was something you knew before the relationship. Did it surprise either of you guys that this was something that showed up in your kids? Probably not, right?
Not at all.
All
I
right.
mean, when we were first together 20 years ago, we didn't know as much about it. And so it wasn't a confirmed genetic component, but crazy families running crazy families.
Okay, you said it. There we go. All right, very good. So you say that the show changed the direction of your life, which I think is that's a pretty bold statement. And I'd love to know a little bit more about that. Like how, because it, like it's not, it's, yeah, tell us more. Tell me more about where that came from and what it means to you.
So I had, look, when my husband decided he wanted to start our business, we had kind of dipped our toes into this pool a little bit because we were helping therapists and counselors, mental health providers advertise their businesses and services so people like us could have easier access. That was the direction where we started from. After I hooked up with the owner of K4ED, everything completely changed. I won't lie, when I put out that I was doing a radio show seeking guests, the response was overwhelming. I had 80 people in my lead flow within a week. And it was almost traumatizing, if that makes sense, because I was told not to expect a huge response. It's radio. But there were so many people looking to share their stories of what it was like as a neurodivergent entrepreneur trying to start a business when all the models are designed for neurotypicals, or trying to take care of your kids when you have executive functioning issues. And so it's hard to even make yourself start tasks that you know are vital. There were so many different perspectives, and I recorded them all. I said, it doesn't matter who you are, let's tell your story. And when that happened, I started building relationships with people. I mean, my radio show overshadowed my business like by a landslide. But then they find out, oh, you're a marketer too? Well, let me get involved with that because you understand how my brain works. And so now our business is actually designed to help neurodivergent business owners do marketing in a way that works for their brain.
That is really interesting. All right, so there's a piece of that story that really resonates with me, and we're going to come back to that. This does feel like it's a good time for me to pop in and just talk directly to the audience and invite them into the conversation. We put up a discussion question on social media for every single episode. So if you pop over to YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you'll find that question. You can interact directly. I'll be there with you. Maybe Deanna will pop in to other listeners. It really has taken off. People like these questions. If you're not already following the show on social media, the links will be in the show notes. It's a lot of fun. All right, so now there's a piece of that story that absolutely didn't surprise me at all, and that is that you said you put out a call for stories and you got lots of responses. And a very similar thing happened when I started this show. I had no idea what to expect, and I just said, all right, let's go. And within the broadcasting space, I'm in podcasting, you're in radio. It is reasonable if you're not already famous and a celebrity to have reasonable expectations, who's going to respond? But I got a lot of people who were like, yeah, I'd like to tell my story. And it's fun, but also then you have the immediate question that's like, well, all right, what now? How am I going to do this? So how did you do that? How did you decide you got 80? You said, I'm going to tell all these stories. How did that work out? Tell me more.
Well, I did end up telling some people that it wasn't a great fit because they came on and they wanted to sell things to my audience that I didn't even have yet. But a lot of them, it was really heartfelt, authentic stories. And so it was just about getting it produced and getting it out there. Some stories are still pending release because there were so many of them. And you can only put out so much content in a given week or you'll drive yourself crazy. But they're really powerful and moving when people I mean, they open themselves up and they get vulnerable when they get one-on-one like this.
They're very nice. So then this is a digital and broadcast radio station, digital broadcast and streaming station. How often are you releasing the show? Is it weekly? Is it on a schedule? How does that work?
So now I've actually subdivided the show into two segments. We have what I call a showcase piece. Every single Friday drops through the podcast archive on the station, and then it broadcasts out whenever Fred feels like he wants to do it. But the big deal is every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, we go live over K-Fred, and it's me and my husband, and we bring on the most wonderful professionals. Tomorrow, we are actually having a Hollywood star on with us, but your audience will hear about this in a few weeks, so it'll be old hat by then.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, that's true. So you do a live broadcast. I have avoided live because I'm just gonna leave it at that. I just have avoided live.
I understand.
I do the production and that gives me time. There's a little gap to do things like that. All right, so What were when? So this is a person who you knew who said, "I have this radio station project. You could be on it." And you were pitching an idea, but then it shifted to be about your family. Did you have any fears or concerns or apprehensions before you started this project?
I mean, yeah, I have, as a neurodivergent mom specifically, I've always struggled with imposter syndrome. Yay, big buzzword. But it's real because you wonder who is going to see any value in what you have to say, who cares about your experiences. But the reality is, what I experienced was that people just want to make connections. They want to hear your story and tell theirs and just understood that they were seen. And so as I started to realize that, it's become second nature.
Very nice. What did your family think when you shifted the focus of what you were going to do away from the marketing business to the family?
So my husband was all on board, but he's not a social person, so he doesn't get in front of the cameras, so he gets to avoid the heat. My kids all think I'm absolutely crazy, but they love the show. We have three adult children that listen every week. And after we get off the air, they call and they're like, "Mom, Mom, I can't believe you said that."
And is it okay, the things you're talking about, or has there ever been any drama about you shouldn't talk about me that way, Mom?
So no, because that's actually one of the focuses of the show is showing neurodivergent people as we are so
Okay.
that the neurotypical community can learn how to be approachable to us and to be approached.
Very nice. All right. There's probably lots of good information there. Absolutely. All right. I don't think that I don't feel like this was a spur of the moment project, although maybe it was since it was only 9 months ago, but it's a show, there's a concept. We're going to talk about what how your life has changed, but before you actually began it, what were your hopes? What did you think would happen when you launched this?
Honestly, I was hoping it's selfish, but I was hoping it would be a massive lead funnel for my marketing agency because every guest I had on was going to become a client. That was completely unrealistic.
But okay, so the intention behind this was always that it was going to be affiliated with your business, that it was an expansion tool for visibility and things on the marketing business, and there's a piece of that. It looks like it has actually grown your business, which is pretty exciting, just not in the way that you thought it would be.
The interesting part was the fact that it took on a life of its own. I homeschool my kids, the four that are still in school. And so, between the business and the radio show and the kids, we kind of live in this neurodivergent soup now. And it's grown into a beautiful thing where I've had one of my kids who he had a bad day and he went, "Mom, are you recording anything today?" "No, you're recording me." "Okay."
Wow.
And he just let loose about how tough it was being an autistic man trying to interact with people in a world where they don't want to interact with him. They don't want to give grace. And it ended up
Yeah.
being a beautiful episode.
No. So that's a really powerful experience that in there's a lot, there's actually a lot in that story because it's that he's comfortable talking to you. He's comfortable being a part of the show. He wants to have his message heard. He sees this as a safe community. That's really interesting. Are you getting feedback from people who are listening outside of being guests on the show?
Yes, ma'am, not as much as I would wish, but people tend to be pretty closeted with their opinions sometimes. They don't want to hurt your feelings. I know personally the first 5 to 10 episodes that I did, I was a robotic statue. It was horrible, but you get comfortable with it. I mean, I can see your own ease in what we're doing. You get comfortable with it over
Yeah.
time, and then you can open up.
Yeah, it does take time. That's the somebody asked me recently, they said, what advice would you give to somebody about starting? And I was like, this is a catch-22 because you want to be really good when you start, but you're not going to be any good until you do it. And so you've got to figure out a way to just get in there and do it so that you can hopefully get good. And people do that in different ways. So there's a bunch of different ways. For me, I just started. I was like, hit go and start. But not everybody does that. All right. So let's talk about how your life has shifted since you started this project. So 9 months ago is when you launched the show. How long before that were you talking to Fred about the project?
It probably took him about 2 or 3 months to completely convince me that neurodivergent news was the way to go versus doing something about marketing.
Okay, so I love that he was very direct with you, like, no.
Yeah, and
Marketing is
that's
off the
one thing
table.
about him. He's very direct.
And so this has been like a year-long thing. If we were to rewind your life to about 18 months ago and compare it to today, what are some things that have shifted?
It feels like a lot of the imbalances that I had have resolved themselves because I have this sort of consistency through everything that I'm doing now. Instead of the kids are fighting for this piece and the business is fighting for this piece and my own sanity is fighting for this piece, it's almost like everything works together. It's almost in balance, almost.
That is really interesting. And why do you think that? Why do you think that is? Why do you think the radio show pulled it all together?
It spotlighted something in my own life that I knew needed to be expressed and talked about. But I live in the South. And so neurodivergence isn't a word that most people know, let alone understand, beginning to understand some of the intricacies involved with it. And so I lived a very masked and sheltered life where I isolated myself, and it's made me an absolute people person.
All right, so let me see if I can recap this and see if I can tie this together. So if we went back to look at your life 2 years ago, you and your husband had a marketing company that was a marketing company, but you really didn't, and you had this lived existence within the walls of your family where you knew about your neurodiversity and the neurodiversity of your kids and your adult kids, but that wasn't, you had two different versions of yourself that you were presenting. The two were not mixing.
Yes, ma'am.
And then by bringing the, but you were talking to Fred. You were talking, I guess you would talk to your friends about the things that were really happening in your house. Or how did Fred know?
Fred knew because he actually eavesdropped in on a conversation that I had with someone else during networking.
Okay.
So he learned, he did it naughty, but I appreciated it because he, like I said, he changed my life.
Okay, so then because he knew about this piece of your life that otherwise you were keeping segmented and private, he was able to suggest that. And now what has happened is that there is no part of your life that doesn't honor and respect and include the reality of neurodivergence inside your house.
That's the goal, and we do succeed most days.
That is really interesting. So tell us, there's something that you talked about, which is a word I've heard before, but I do my best to try and make sure that when we're talking about vocabulary and things, that if there's anybody who's listening who doesn't know, I bring it up and give it some airtime. So tell us a little bit about what you mean when you say masking.
Okay, so that's I don't want to call it a psychological term, but it is a clinical term. It's when you suppress your natural reactions and instincts and supply society with a version of you that is not ac an accurate representation of who you are when you're in on your own in private.
Okay, so is it reasonable to say, and I know you're not an expert, so I'm just asking for your opinion. And I mean, I think that you have expertise for sure, but I don't want to put you on the spot like I'm asking you to present something. I'm just looking for your opinion based on your life and your expertise. Is it at like almost a version of performing in a way that you think people will accept?
Absolutely. And
Okay.
it's not something exclusive to neurodivergent people either. Everyone does this to an extent. But when you're faced with the shame and the criticism that often comes at you for the behaviors that are a direct result of your neurodivergence, you kind of build it as a wall to protect yourself from everyone else to an extreme.
Absolutely. No, I mean, to some extent, yeah, I agree with that. We do all do it. When we're going to go to the bank and ask for a loan, we dress up to make sure we look like we're the part. We don't wear, or we do if we want to have a better chance. Right? When you go to a job interview, you try and put your best foot forward. That's a version of performing in certain sections, but it's definitely it's so what we're talking about is the reality of having to cover up who you are and your natural behaviors because they're not accepted kindly and compassionately if you
I mean,
don't.
this isn't you don't pick your nose in public or you hide it. If you, this is your anxiety almost has you vibrating because you're holding yourself still so that you don't react in what others might view an inappropriate way.
Okay. So that's, yeah, it's a big concept, I think, for me to wrap my head around. And I appreciate you taking the time to explain it because I do think that there's really big value in talking about these topics when between groups, between a group that experiences it and a group that doesn't, so that we can be more aware. And at the same time, I'm a person who I have the reality and the understanding that I can't actually understand some things that I've never experienced for myself. I can really just try and learn and be aware and do the best I can. And so I appreciate you sharing all of this with me and with the audience. All right. In a second, we're going to do the final fun questions, but I wanted to give you a chance to tell people about what you do. You mentioned you have a marketing agency. You mentioned your clientele has shifted a little bit with the radio show or expanded. Tell us what you do. Tell us how you want people to follow up with you after the show.
So you can find me at lionheartkingdom.com or you can find me on Facebook under Deanna.Brakefield. Whether you're a neurodivergent entrepreneur, a parent that has a story to tell, or just someone looking for more information, I would invite people to check out neurodivergent news on kfred.com. And if you're interested in a different perspective on marketing, that's where you find me at Lionheart Kingdom.
So I'm definitely going to check out kfred.com because I'm fascinated to know more about what he's doing. And I'm going to look at the show for sure, Neurodivergent News. It's a good title. It's a good title. Okay, so you have a special offer that you prepared for the audience, which is a brand strategy call and a social media profile optimization. And so there are details about this in the show notes, a really, really thorough explanation of what it is. One brand, a complimentary 1 hour brand strategy call. And then you get a discount off of the social media profile optimization. So that is a spectacular deal. It's really, really good. And the way you do that is by mentioning the art of imperfect adulting when you reach out to Deanna. So the details about that are in the show notes. And the best way to get the details about the offers is usually to be, is always to be subscribed to the imperfect adulting email community because then you don't have to grab a pen and take notes while you're listening or watching. I send it directly into your email box and it's super convenient. And so that is that. I encourage everybody to do that for sure. Are you ready for the final three questions, my friend?
Let's do it.
All right, very good. Modern technology sometimes gets a bad rap, but what is a recent or modern invention that you are happy was invented and you actually would not try and live without it?
As of a year ago, AI.
I love that. It could have been anything, could have been anything, but you know, like we do, we blame, I'm in there too. I blame technology for a lot of problems, but also there are things that I would not want to try and live without. No. All right. If you were making a lunch or a dinner, but just for yourself, and I wrote this question, Deanna, before I knew that you were in a house of nine people, I just thought of it on my own. But if you were making a meal just for yourself, what is a go-to meal that you would make?
I have a deep fryer on my counter for a reason. Mom makes French fries just for mom all the time.
And you do it in a deep fryer.
Yeah, I just drop like a handful or two in the deep fryer, and then 3 minutes later, I'm gone.
That is amazing. So I'll do French fries, but we do like the frozen ones in the oven. Like I absolutely love that. All right, very good. Last one. Do you have a favorite color? And if so, what is it?
Blue. And me and my youngest son will fight over every blue thing in this house for who it belongs to.
I love it. That's it, Deanna Brakefield. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Abvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.